Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael. Kane's Tire has always had the lowest prices in Marin for 54 years. Today's guest is Ahmed Farid from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. And Ahmed, we've been talking about the Giants all year and being in the hunt. And it's been pretty amazing that they have been in the race with all the injuries that they've had. But you know, all of a sudden, the Dodgers sweep the Giants. Giants lose some games there, not only in L.A., but in Colorado. And the next thing, you look up at the standings, and now they're 8.5 back with 23 to go. And it seems like their chances are so slim that, maybe the percentage of getting into the postseason is way, way down there to maybe like Blutarski, 0.0. But no, maybe slightly above that because, it's really, you've got to have incredible optimism to think they have a chance. So where do you stand now on how this Giants season looks?
Well, it's strange because in baseball, it's a marathon. You got the 162 games, and it's very rare to see a stretch of games, 1 week of games, just wipe out maybe all hope that you had for making the postseason. But that's kind of what happened to the Giants there. Before that week and going into that Dodgers series, I said I'd be shocked if the division didn't come down to the last week of the season, if that Dodgers series didn't mean a whole bunch. Now it might not, for sure, and the chances are that it won't mean a whole lot. So it is crazy, and I do give the Giants a lot of credit for hanging in the race as long as they did, but they had a good offense for most of the year, and it was Matt Duffy and Panic there, but you lose Panic, you lose Pence again, Crawford goes down, got some nagging injuries there as well, and then you got Buster Posey having to catch a whole bunch of games, so that's wearing him down a little bit, so I think eventually you're right, the injuries kind of caught up to them on the offensive side, and they've kind of always been there on the pitching side too, so yeah, not a good combination, but I'll tell you what, if somehow they can get it to four games before that Dodgers series, hey, they're 6-0 against the Dodgers at AT&T Park already this year, so who knows? So you're saying there's a chance if they can do that, so we'll see if that can happen.
Dumb and dumber. I guess the way it would be, the way we'd look at it being dumb and dumber, the two guys that make that dumb and dumber would be Greinke and Kershaw, because it just seems like two out of every 5 days, there's no way the Dodgers are going to lose, and they've won five games in a row. But I agree with you. I think when the lineup was rolling, this Giants team was better than the Dodgers. But, you know, I don't know that you point at one injury, but Pence and Panic being out as long as they were, they're so key to the lineup. I don't know. You just can't take two guys out like that, even if you feel like you have depth, right?
Yeah, no, I think so too. I think Panic might be, you know, a lot of people talk about Pence, and I think we saw the record was a lot better when he was in the lineup. But Panic, you look at his numbers, and there really is not a better, I don't think, offensive second baseman in the National League right now outside of Joe Panic. D. Gordon has a little speed there, but that was a huge loss to lose him and the number two hitter, and then everyone kind of moves up a slide and your order gets thinner down towards the bottom. So that was a really big one for me when he went down. And I do, and I kind of brought it up before, is that I think Susak kind of, they were banking on him. The Giants in the offseason had a whole bunch of offers from other teams. They love Andrew Susak. They love a average or above average defensive catcher who can hit, and that's a hot commodity out there. So I think they were counting on him giving Buster some time off. And he did in the beginning of the year, and we saw how good Buster was playing a bunch of games at first base and staying fresh. But then you had to put him behind the plate in a bunch of those games last week. And he's worn down just a little bit, which is natural for all catchers in baseball. So yeah, I think a combination of those three were just too much eventually for the Giants to overcome.
We'll have more with Ahmed Farid from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhonan at Kane's Tire in San Rafael. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
You know, you think about injuries and you wonder, an organization must look at it and say, man, we were so banged up. What can we do about this? But I don't know that you can do anything. When you have a player like Hunter Pence, who was in such great shape, and he ends up with the oblique, he gets hit by a pitch early in the year, or Nori Aoki, I mean, he got hit in the helmet, ended up with a concussion problem. He got hit in the leg. I mean, you know, getting hit by pitches Crawford in the calf, the obliques, all that kind of stuff, the back for Panic. I don't know how you can avoid this, right? I mean, is it just bad luck?
I mean, you can't. What you hope for is that you've built enough depth that if a guy is out for 2 weeks, for 15 days, you can get by. But, yeah, if a guy's going to miss, you know, 2 months of the year and he's one of the guys you're counting on, it's virtually impossible to cover yourself that much. I mean, you could spend a ton of money. I mean, the Giants already have a top five payroll in baseball, so it's not like they've been cheap and building the bench. So it is really difficult to do that. I mean, you have a guy like Matt Duffy who, going into the year, that is your depth right there. That is your depth guy. And
yeah,
then it turns out that he's in the battle of rookie of the year right now. So, and you look at a guy like Chase Utley. He didn't want to come over to the Giants because he might not play a whole bunch. So it's hard to get really good players and say, hey, you're a really good player. You're not going to play for us unless someone gets hurt. It's just it's impossible on multiple fronts. And I think the Giants did almost as well as they could in the circumstances.
Let's talk about Tim Lincecum, one of the most popular players really in Giants history. And he started out the year really well. At one point, his ERA was 2.08. A lot of people might have forgotten that by now. But then, you know, he faded. He got hurt. And then the next thing, we found out about the hip injury. And, you know, both hips were bothering him. And we never even heard about that before. But now he had hip surgery. And you wonder about his chances of coming back to the Giants. I've been saying that I think, Ahmed, that they're improved the chances of him coming back to the Giants, because the other teams now are saying, well, wait a minute, you know, he had this hip surgery. I don't know how he's going to come back from that. He's under the Giants' care now, so it seems like there might be a better chance. How do you view Lincecum and, you know, what kind of a comeback that he could make?
It's so hard trying to figure out exactly where they're going to go from here, because he's coming off, I mean, Mr. being an $18 million pitcher, so how much less does he take knowing that, you know, his career is on the brink right now? Do the Giants have a role for him? I kind of thought through a whole bunch of scenarios. It's interesting to hear you say you think it's more likely now with this injury, but, you know, you just don't know. First of all, with the injury, you hope, how great would it be to see Tim Lincecum at least get back to, you know, almost, you know, not even what he was before, but a guy who can throw 93, 94, something like that with an improved hip. But,
yeah,
and we kind of hope for the same thing with Matt Cain, saying, oh, after the, you know, he's been pitching with us for his whole, you know, career, maybe now he can, you know, and that didn't really happen for Matt Cain. So you just don't know with Tim Lincecum here. And I don't know what role the Giants would be able to convince him to come back for. And if there's another team out there that would say, hey, we have a spot in our rotation, we'll give a $3-5 million flyer to Tim Lincecum, see if he can regain his stuff after having the surgery. The Giants, I don't feel like they're prone to give him that roster spot and that spot in the starting rotation, or even the spot in the bullpen. I'm not so sure that they're open to having a guaranteed spot for Tim. I think they'd definitely be willing to have him come back on a minor league deal and to see where he is and after the surgery and what he's got. But the question then becomes, is there another team out there that says, you know what, Tim, come over here, we'll give you a shot to be in the starting rotation? I don't know that the Giants necessarily can afford him that opportunity. But the question is, will another team do that? And you just don't know. There's so many questions with him right now. But I do know for a fact there would be nothing cooler to see than Tim come back stronger, better than ever, and kind of reemerge as a star, at least a piece of this rotation, a valuable piece of this rotation. I just don't know what percentage to a chance to put on that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the reason why I think there's a better chance of coming back to the Giants is because I think before the injury, another team probably would have looked at him as, hey, maybe we can have him as a 4 or 5 starter, and the Giants really weren't thinking that way. But now, you know, especially because they weren't going to spend the money, but now I think it is the minor league deal, and I don't think any other team is really going to say, you know, I'm going to give him a chance. It's more the Giants, you know, because they have had him, and he's so popular here. That was my thinking.
Yeah, and I think that's reasonable. I just think also there's a lot of teams that are desperate out there too, and maybe some teams that aren't even very good that have a spot or two that may just say, you know, what the heck, it's a 2-time Cy Young Award winner, and he's got a new hip now, so a fresh surgery over there, labrum or whatever is connected there is better. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure what's going to go down with Tim. You know, honestly, I floated this by a few people. I said, what are the chances? You know, Tim's a different cat, so popular here in the Bay Area. I was like, you think you just walk away from the sport? You think you just say, you know what, I've had a great career. It's been a great run, made a lot of money. And, you know, my body's just not holding up. I'm not pitching the way I want to. I'm just going to call it a career, and that's it. I talked to some former players about that, but they all thought that Timmy wants to keep playing baseball, and he enjoys playing the sport, so they don't see that as a possibility. But I thought that'd be really interesting if he just said, you know, that's it. That was a good run, and I'm done. And if any player was going to do that, you'd think maybe it'd be a guy like Tim Lincecum. But I'm talking to some people, it seems like that's not totally on his radar.
Yeah, you know, you don't see that happen very often in baseball. I mean, Joe DiMaggio, I think, still could play, but he wasn't quite up to his capability, so he said, you know what, I'm done. You don't see that so much anymore, maybe because, you know, the money, of course, and you see players, sometimes they'll hang them up like a Michael Jordan and then come back in other sports. But, you know, you think about that with Matt Cain, because some people wonder if he's done. You know, is he ever going to be even close to the Matt Cain that he was before? Now, he's under contract, but it's got to be tough mentally on all these guys who have done so well before, and now you're trying to do something different. You're coming back from an injury. You can only imagine what they're going through.
Yeah, I'm more optimistic on Cain than a lot of people out there. I just feel like it's too early since having pretty major surgery on a pretty important part of your body for a pitcher, the elbow, to kind of write him off for the next couple of years. You know, he had a spring training where he was healthy, but then at the end of spring training, obviously, was not. So I think you give him a full off season. He's farther removed from the surgery now. I'm more optimistic that Cain can come back, and he doesn't need to be the number one or number two or even number three anymore. He just needs to be one of the five best starters that the Giants have out there. The money you've paid him is sunk. It's gone already. You're paying him, and there's nothing you can do about it. What you need him to be now is a part of your rotation. So if he can come back and be a four or a five, that's valuable for the Giants, and I'm optimistic that he can do that. There are some people not as optimistic as me. They think that he really has lost it, but he's still a guy who's throwing low 90s, and he just needs to get his command back. And can he be a number four, number five starter? I think so, but we'll see next year.
Well, you know, he's under contract, and of course Madison Bumgarner's your ace, and Jake Peavy is also under contract. Tim Hudson is retiring. You're going to have to do something in that rotation. I mean, Mike Leake looks like a no-brainer to bring back. What do you think about him? And also going forward, what else does this team need? It seems like they're always short in the outfield because of injuries. You know, Angel Pagan is never healthy for a whole year. Are they going to make, you think, a major emphasis here on getting another outfielder?
I think they'll roll the dice with Pagan. It's been used in the last year because they do have some, you know, Gregor Blanco can shift over there. Maybe Noriega would be in a pinch. And honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing Kelby Tomlinson get some run in the outfield. I mean, from all we hear, he's one of the fastest guys in the organization. He's a guy I was talking to Rich really about. I was like, you think they could throw Kelby? You think he could play the outfield and he'd be any good at it? He's like, if you can play middle infield, you can play the outfield. You can learn that. He hasn't done it in his professional career, so, you know, there's a lot of question marks with it, but I'd be interested to see if he could get some run and just be protection next year for Angel Pagan. As far as the starting rotation, I really thought about a month ago that it was pretty locked down that they just signed one free agent starting pitcher. And I thought it was Peavy, Bumgarner, Heston, and Cain, who you'd kind of bank on to put in the rotation, and then you got one spot. But I do wonder now if they'll sign another guy, too, if they'll sign a Mike Leake and another guy, Jordan Zimmerman, someone else out there, shoot for the fences for a David Price, kind of like they did last year with John Lester. So I think there are more questions, but you really do, if you're the Giants, you've got to payroll this up there. You're going to get some money coming off the books, but if Chris Heston can be a part of your rotation, there's a guy you're paying a league minimum to be a solid part of your rotation. I mean, this year he was really the number two starter for him all year long, if you look at his season-long stats. So that's really valuable, and I don't think the Giants want to walk away from that potential. So if you sign two starting pitchers, and basically you're saying, unless there's an injury, Chris Heston is not a part of your rotation. Now, might that be the case with Matt Cain, too? Yes, but it just makes it hard to plan when you're paying him $20 million the next couple of years. You really are going to give him as many chances as it needs to try to get back to kind of what he was before. So I think one, definitely, one starting pitcher. But I wouldn't be surprised now if they do two. But they could do one. I really don't know. I don't know what they're thinking about Heston and how much stock they're putting in him. Clayton Blackburn, a guy like that, or a guy like Matt Cain.
Yeah, Blackburn had a great year at AAA Sacramento. Heston, I mean, seems like such a question mark. Where early in the year, he threw that no-hitter. He had a really good ERA. He was a Rookie of the Year candidate for a while, but I don't know what happened to him. I don't know that you could pinpoint one thing, but it just seemed like he was way more erratic in the second half of the year. I don't know if he ran out of gas or what it was, but isn't it hard to trust him based on his second half of the year?
It does make it harder, but if you look at a couple of those starts, his walks were up, his strikeouts were down, but he's still only giving up one run in a couple of those games. But he wasn't going that deep in the game, and that's what the Giants kind of needed from him. The bullpen's getting taxed. So, yeah, his second half certainly puts it much more in doubt whether you guarantee a spot for him going into next year, if you just make him kind of like a Tanner Roark that the Nationals did going into the year, and if there's an injury, he's the first guy to slot in. So that's why I wouldn't be really surprised if they did go out there and get two starting pitchers, the Mike Leake plus or whatever. But yeah, about a month ago, Joe, if you would ask me, I mean, I would have said, yes, Chris Heston, pen him into the rotation next year, and now there's a little more question with that.
More with Ahmed Farid from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area right after this. Inside China Basin is sponsored by Angel Borelli, a nationally known expert on pitching mechanics from right here in the Bay Area. She works with some of the best pitchers in the Bay Area, troubleshooting and solving their performance issues. Listen to Angel Borelli's weekly podcast, The Fix, which discusses issues and solutions for pitchers from a sports science perspective. And get a weekly tip on pitching at Angel Borelli Pitching on Facebook. Check out our website, jimscience.com, where you can order her books and other publications. Contact Angel Borelli today. And stay with us after our conversation with Ahmed Farid. Angel will talk about Tim Lincecum and his hip surgery. As we finish up, I wanted to ask you about your experience here in the Bay Area, because you had been working at MLB Network, where you're focusing on one sport. And at Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area, you got all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, the Giants have been the focus of the summer, but now the 49ers and Raiders, you know, the Warriors coming up after winning the championship. How much fun are you having? And, you know, how different is it to look at all those different sports and be prepared to cover all of them and talk about all of them on a given night?
I'm having a blast. I love it here. Really, it's the best place that I've worked, best area that I've worked, the best teams that I've worked covering. When I was at MLB Network, it was so baseball focused. I mean, it had to be, because you could be doing an MLB Tonight and you're thrust into the seventh inning of a Pirates game and you got to know who their setup man to the setup man is.
Right.
You know, I mean, you just really had to know all that stuff and have it right on the edge of your tongue there. So it is a big difference, because when I was there, honestly, I couldn't have told you what team Steph Curry played for. You just lost all track of every other sport while you were there, because you had to. You just had to focus so much on baseball,
right,
their prospects, who they had coming up. So it has been nice to kind of reconnect and reattach that part of my brain with basketball and football. And honestly, the Bay Area, I came here, you know, not really knowing anything about it, not knowing a whole lot about it. When it was floated out to me that this was a possibility even to come here, me and my wife were like, yeah, that probably won't happen. It seems like a pipe dream or whatever. But now that I'm here, and I've been here for 2.5 years, bought a house out in the East Bay, we don't want to go. We want to be here for a long, long time, which sometimes is rare in TV, but that's the way we look at it right now, just because it's got a really good vibe. I think that the negativity that you see covering some of the East Coast teams, and even in the Midwest sometimes, just isn't here. There isn't that craving for the negative. And I think that's really refreshing, and I just really enjoy kind of that vibe around the teams and the vibe from the fans. If the team does really well, they're psyched. If the team does poorly, it's not like they're calling for everyone's heads necessarily, which I think is refreshing kind of in today's day and age. So I like it a lot. I liked it at MLB Network, but this is a step above that.
You guys seem to have a lot of fun, too. I mean, and especially those commercials. And you and Dave Feldman have a real good chemistry going. And the commercials that you do, I mean, especially like the ones that you have the Giants players, you know, of course, with Javi Lopez and Brandon Crawford, and they're sitting in the back of the car. How much did you guys enjoy doing those commercials?
I mean, we have a joke that people come up to us all the time. They're like, oh, man, it's great. We saw the commercials, great. And we go, You know, we do a TV show. We do a TV show outside of the commercials, too. I know where we've become famous for the commercials, but there is a show that goes along with it that we wouldn't mind if you checked out every once in a while. But those have taken off, and those are fun. And Brandon Crawford, after he got done shooting, they only take about, honestly, 15 to 20 minutes, and so the players are psyched about that. But he got done, he was like, actually, I had fun doing that. And I was like, wow, that was so surprising for you that you could actually enjoy doing something with the media here. But we just, maybe my favorite one with Crawford was the, I don't know if you've seen the handshake one where we do like a special handshake or whatever, Dave and I. And in the middle of the first take, Crawford just starts busting up laughing because Dave did a nose touch and reached over and touched my nose. And I scratched his chest and he couldn't contain it any longer. So they have a good time. They're short. They're sweet. We don't take up all their day, but they've kind of taken on a life of their own. And really, honestly, we wouldn't have had as much success with our show if those spots weren't out there and weren't happening. It gives us a little more credibility. People are like, all right, the players don't hate them, so maybe we shouldn't hate them either. So it's been good.
And it's great to have the same partner. I mean, you know what to expect from your partner, right, on the air.
Absolutely. We were just talking about it yesterday, Dave and I. You know, there's some banter back and forth, and, you know, we keep it pretty loose, but we go into all the kind of the ad-lib situations. I'm like, did you know you were going to say that? And he's like, I had no idea. And so it really keeps it fresh, and we're keeping each other kind of on our toes. And we like the way the show has gone. You know, it's not a stiff, uptight kind of sports show. You know, I mean, we take sports seriously, but at the same time, we realize that it's just a game. And we want to have some fun with it, especially if the team loses. You know, you don't want the show to be like a funeral. You want to still have a little fun with it, turn the page. So I'm glad that he shares that philosophy with me, and I'm glad that Ted Griggs, our company president, shares that philosophy too, that you got to have a little fun, you got to have a little entertainment along with your news, or else it's going to be a little flat.
Yeah, absolutely. Ahmed, thanks so much for the time. Great job covering all the sports here in the Bay Area, and look forward to having you on the podcast again down the road.
Yeah, anytime.
That's Ahmed Fareed from Comcast SportsNet Bay Area joining us here on thesportsvirus.com. Now it's time to talk about the pitcher's delivery with pitching mechanics expert Angel Borelli, who joins us regularly here on Inside China Basin. You could also catch the podcast where we go over pitching mechanics extensively with Angel. It's called The Fix, and it's right here on thesportsvirus.com. Angel, let's talk about Tim Lincecum. That was the big news for the Giants this past week as he underwent hip surgery. We did not know about that injury before, but apparently it was a big deal for him, what he had to deal with. And his dad, Chris Lincecum, has come out and said that it's going to make a major difference for Lincecum having this hip surgery. And he said that he's going to come back stronger from this and have more confidence. Is that possible, in your opinion?
Well, it's possible if there are a few factors that actually, or a few variables that actually change. One is, and what I think Chris is saying is I think he believes that Tim's mechanics are sound and that there were some things that started to change because he was injured, but it changed him from these weird mechanics to more weird mechanics. His mechanics are not sound. I mean, he's not sound on a mechanical level of the way the body moves. Let's put it that way. We don't even have to talk pitching mechanics. You can't do what he does with his spine and his hips and expect things to hold up. It is a machine, and it's designed to go certain ways. So if you try to take it and violate those rules, it will come back at you. And Tim has had his body talking to him for some time. So the two factors that worry me are, one, that Tim does not listen to his body when it's telling him that something isn't right, that he refuses to actually make major changes in his mechanics that actually would bring him more into maybe his own style, but with realistic motions that are possible by each joint and not forcing it to do something it doesn't want to do. And what I've seen over the years, because to me, physically, a pitcher can do anything. I believe I wouldn't have a business if I didn't believe that there was always hope. In fact, my job is to transform these type of situations into something that's really, really good. But if the pitcher himself has a blind spot, about one, ignoring the way his body talks to him, two, looking at his performance and not critiquing his own the fact that he is doing a left of center type of delivery, and if there's problems, to actually look at what you're really seeing. He doesn't see the forest for the trees, and I don't believe his father does either. So what concerns me about his return is him doing things the same way. Now, he had some rehab that ended up not working, and he ended up with surgery. And I read that he went on the mound and tried pitching. Of course it was going to hurt him because he went on the mound pitching in his old way.
Right.
You cannot do with the hip joints what he is doing. And if it wasn't his hip that broke down, it would be his spine. So this is a gift in disguise for him. But what I'm concerned about is he has not exhibited open-mindedness, flexibility about really seeing what it is, flexibility of thinking, and the belief that when something's going wrong, you have to call a different play. This is like a football game where you keep getting run down and you keep calling the same play and the team's getting used to it and they're taking you down and you never call a different play. You have to do that, particularly when you view it and you see that something isn't right with his delivery. It's not like he has little tiny things. It's a major thing that he does. And the way his hip was responding as it was getting hurt was reflecting problems because of that. So that's what I'm concerned about. On a physical level, yes, a pitcher can come back. A pitcher can always come back, in my opinion, if he does the right things. But the thing that needs the adjustment on someone who's been pitching with an unusual style, not listening to his body, and has never exhibited a willingness to make adjustments, the thing that worries me is the pitcher himself, not his pitching motion. And that's what my concern would be for him. And I am not, I'm neutral on, do I think this is his wake-up call? I'm not really sure because he's been in pain for years, and he's never had that be a wake-up call. And usually that wakes pitchers up. So that's my opinion. It's not the motion that can't be fixed. It's not the hip that can't be fixed, but it might be the pitcher himself and the way he thinks about things.
So he's going to have a lot on his plate when you think about it, coming back from hip surgery and possibly changing his mechanics so that it works in the future. And by the way, John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle is the one who talked to Chris Lincecum, Tim's dad, and he also wrote about CEO Larry Bear of the San Francisco Giants not ruling out Lincecum returning to the Giants, and that Tim isn't ruling it out either. So he could be back in San Francisco, where people thought that was going to be a foregone conclusion that he was gone because he wasn't performing well. This could work out in the end, but it sounds like it's going to be a lot of work.
Well, yeah, and also when they fix that labrum, and the labrum is the cartilage around the hip, when they fix a labrum in a shoulder for a pitcher, and that's the specialized cartilage, the shoulder usually doesn't have the same range of motion. So Tim is probably going to be forced to have a different range of motion. And then he's going to have to adjust his stride to be more of a normal stride than a swinging around, cartwheeling type of stride. He doesn't stride and doesn't use his hips the way that is done in a normal pitching motion. So the way the surgery is going to be done will probably limit him from doing some really outrageous things, and it'll be up to him to try to bring his stride and his hip motion into normal. It's not going to take anything away from his pitching. If the mechanics are adjusted correctly and with the surgery that we know he has, it could actually be seamless. But he has to not try to force the hip to do something it doesn't want to do, particularly after repair. So the question isn't, so much, can he come back? Because if he can come back and throw strikes, no one's going to critique how he does it, because that's not what baseball does. They're about the work product. But the question is, will he try to force his hip to do something that it doesn't want to do and therefore not be effective, or is he going to hurt himself again? And hips are not something you ever want to play around with. All the weight, we're suspended from our head, that's upper spine, and all the weight of your body's transferring through the hips to the ground. So they're very important joints.
That's pitching mechanics expert Angel Borelli. You can hear her on the Fix podcast as well here on thesportsvirus.com. Want to thank Angel and Ahmed Farid for joining us today. We'll be back again on Friday with Jorge Ortiz from USA Today. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.